Turn over to the next page. We're going to talk about developing a good conflict resolution model. Guidelines, then, for the double V. We're going to summarize this page, and you can probably read it more in detail later on. If Lynn comes to me and says, I have a problem in the marriage, we have a problem in the marriage. I just can't go into a state of denial and say, well, yes, we got a problem, and it's you. That might be true, but that's not legitimate. When, where, and how are we going to deal with the problem? When, prime time, is anything from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. Starting on a problem at 11 o'clock at night might not be the best thing. Where, bedroom might not be the best place, maybe the living room, the dining room, front porch, back porch. How are you going to deal with it? It's going to be very important that you be able to see your spouse, because you see, we communicate with what we call not just verbal communication, but body language. The situation needs to be where the TV is not on, the television is not on, the phone is off the hook, or whatever. So in other words, you need to be able to concentrate then on one another. Whose turn is it to talk? Let's say Lynn has the problem. She has 45 seconds, first turn to talk, 45 seconds to express how the problem has affected her without attacking me. Now, all I can do, gentlemen, is listen. Because after 45 seconds, I have to paraphrase back to her what I heard her say. After I do that, she has a fresh 45 seconds. I paraphrase back. She has as many 45 seconds as she wants to until she's convinced I've not just heard the words, but heard her heart. Why? Because clean house doesn't always mean clean house. Vacation doesn't always mean vacation. At that point, when she's convinced, she says, switch. It's my turn then to take 45 seconds and express how the problem has affected me without attacking her, and all she can do is paraphrase back. What we're trying to do is to figure out what is the problem. It's amazing to us, the couples we work with, they think they know what the problem is, but they really don't. Sometimes I'm called into churches to help them with some kind of problem they have in the congregation. And I'll meet with the men and I'll say, well, gentlemen, what was the problem? Sometimes one of them says, well, I don't know, but I was against it. Well, okay, that's not all that bad. What were you against? Well, I was against what they were saying. Well, what were they saying? I don't know, but it didn't sound right to me. In other words, they don't know what is the problem. Once you identify the problem, then you have to brainstorm. I have an idea. What about this possibility? So that's a summary of the guidelines we've given you. Turn over to your next page. You're going to see a great big giant double V. And we're going to try to demonstrate this for you tonight with a real life problem that we have had to work with in our own marriage.
And work with on a daily basis
We're still working with it, but I will tell you how we resolved it. Here's the context. She lived in Oklahoma when we married, and I lived in Missouri. Because Jeremy had another year in high school and she was teaching at the university, I decided to move then to be with her. We rented a three-bedroom townhouse, one bedroom for us, one bedroom for Jeremy, one bedroom was going to be, quote-unquote, the office. It was the smaller of the three bedrooms. Now, my office back in St. Louis was 440 square feet. I had to take my books, my materials, my reference work, my sermons, and move to Oklahoma to this real small bedroom. I thought that was going to be a challenge until she informed me that I could only have half the room because she had to have the other half for her office.
Well, what he's really telling you is somewhat true, but a little detail that he did conveniently leave out. When I saw his office in St. Louis, it was that large, 440 square feet, but I could not see one square foot of that square footage covered with paper. I couldn't see any desktop at all covered with paper. Trash cans were invisible, just heaps of paper around corners of the room. It was amazing. It really was.
She had never seen an office where a genius had been at work.
This is another issue that we really haven't worked with yet. It's called a delusion of grandeur. Yeah, maybe we'll address that at a later point. All right. Now, keep in mind, we marry late in May. And I'm teaching summer school that year, so a couple of weeks after we get married, I start teaching. Now, I admit that I was a single mother for a period of time, a working mother for a period of time. Not right or wrong, but we each have our mode of operation, correct? The way we work best, and I'm one of these individuals that after I work all day long, I'm really tired. And so I would prefer to arise a little earlier in the morning, straighten out the nest. So if the world is chaotic, at the end of the day, the nest is not. And so I would arise a little earlier. I didn't dust, didn't vacuum, nothing like that. We had a rule. The last one out of bed had to make it. He's an early riser anyway, not a problem. But I would usually pick up some papers, start a load of laundry, dishes, that kind of thing. Okay? So, now also keep in mind, I am gone all day during the week and home in the evenings and on the weekends. He is home all day during the week and in the evenings and gone on the weekends. We've got this thing going anyway. Okay, we get married. I start teaching. I continue my mode of operation. I get up, clean the place, and I leave. However, what I saw when I came home was not even a first cousin. Wasn't even in the family of what I left. Not at all. Evidently, it didn't take him long to clutter up the office because he had moved down to our bedroom, stuff on the floor, the bed, the vanity. At that point, I guess he had decided to move down to Jeremy's bedroom, stuff on his desk, his floor, his bed area there. He needed more room, I suppose, because down to the only living area we had, one little end table in there, two couches, stuff on the floor, on the couches. Then he had moved into the only dining area we had, stuff all over the table, and I guess he still needed room because into the kitchen he evidently had gone. There was trash on the counter, Dr. Pepper cans, just stuff wadded up, sandwich wrappers, and into the laundry room. I think your twin is sitting right there on the front row. Okay, you've mail coming in, mail going out on the washer and the dryer, and that was the entirety of the townhouse except for the bathroom.
Bathroom too small to put anything in there. I did put my Bass Pro and Cabela's magazines in there. You never know when you might want to order
something. Okay, that's too much information. Too much information. Okay, in other words, I could not change clothes if I wanted to. I couldn't sit down on a couch. I couldn't even cook if I chose to do that without moving the creeping crud.
My stuff.
All right,